Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Reality Realness with Three S's. I'm your host, Chantel Francis, and I don't have headphones, so if there's an echo, I'm sorry. My headphones are not working. I tried a couple, not working, but we're not here to talk about headphones. We're here to talk about The Traitors, episode 5, with my favorite traitor of them all, Jonathan. How's it go, Seth?
It's good. It's good. We have a lot to talk about. We watched it together yesterday, which many people might not know. And we had a lot of reactions to it immediately. So we're excited to talk about it today.
Yeah, I think from now on, let's do like, we'll watch it together and then we'll do like immediate reactions and then we can go live after. But like, we need to get that first 10 minutes was pretty electric.
Yeah, especially because our reactions are, I can't believe, like, we're very animated in our initial reactions to it when we first watching it. So,
well, I definitely thought that this was a really good episode, and I can tell that by, like, I was viscerally like shaking, and like, I'm like, I kind of figured out what was going to happen, but like, I was on the edge of my seat, like, wondering if is she going to be able to pull through? Is she going to be able to get her point across? Like, you know, I was pretty in it. And so that's why I kind of really enjoyed this episode. What are your overall thoughts about this episode out of the first 5?
I mean, I don't know if I can enjoy it when someone that I really like is going home, but like we'll talk about gameplay. We'll talk about how people we feel are playing the game, how well or not well. And overall, there were a few surprises with some people, Peter, who are... took a, you know, a change in their gameplay. And then there are other people, Dan, Janelle, who I feel like, you know, and I think you agree, aren't living up to what we expect. But I mean, with Janelle, it's a little different because, I mean, she's playing like she always plays, I feel like, which, and I think you were saying yesterday, there needs to be a little bit more finesse with gameplay. And you, and with any of them, really, you can't play how you've played the previous games. It's a totally different game, you know, so you can't just, you know, Dan can't bring his typical style. Janelle can't bring her to Sandra can't bring their typical style.
Sam, I am with you. Sam loved this episode. The way they wanted Dan out so bad, hoping Poverty and Phaedra team up and throw him under the bus. I wanted him out so badly. And
you wanted his head.
Because like I think because he's, in my opinion, he's playing so terribly that I can't have him be rewarded anymore with this abysmal gameplay. Like, yeah. I know, like, I wouldn't be able to do any better, and like, you know, like, you don't know the circumstances, whatever, it's just a TV show, like, maybe he's playing a lot better and they're just showing his bad parts, okay, whatever. But from what I've been shown, what I see is very bad gameplay, and he could just do some basic tweaks that could make his gameplay at least decent.
Well, it's like, how many times do you have to be told by your fellow traders, by people around you who are saying like, hey, you're looking like a traitor because you're not naming people, you're not saying anything. Dan would like know, like you should know, you would know if you were a faithful who you're suspecting. Everyone has suspicions, and he is refusing to listen to anyone and not playing into it. And it's really kind of shocking that, you know, he's not taking, they're really beating him over the head with it, and he's not taking their advice kind of at all.
And one thing that we were talking about yesterday was, if either of us were a traitor, when we go to bed at night for like a good 3 hours before I actually fell asleep, I would be going over every single scenario as to like, okay, who, okay, if this person was a traitor, what kind of things can I point towards them to make them look like a traitor? Okay, now MJ, what kind of things did she do that I can say like, oh, this is what she could have done to be a traitor? Like, he has to throw out theories being like, oh my God, this person was sitting beside this person and Ekansu died. Like, maybe they were the one that gave the poison. Like, something. Anything. And I would be thinking of all these things, because obviously if you sit back and don't say anything, or if you allow people to be banished without either being like, no, I don't agree with that, or yes, I do agree, like, you just let someone be banished, that means that you are happy that it's not you. And so it's just so frustrating that, like, what is he doing in his room before the breakfast? Like, he's not gaming, I guess.
No. Yeah. Journal writing, puzzles. I don't know.
But sleeping?
So what is he doing?
Like, the next morning, he just be like, oh, yeah, I didn't sleep well at all. This yeah. is scary. I'm just like, the persona that he's putting on, I would just be like, how could you have won a game? Because, yeah. like, you're not personable at all.
It's like, well, I don't want to strike until I'm ready. I'm like, literally everyone else, including Berkey, everyone else has said a name. Like, people who come from no strategic background gaming-wise, they've all said suspicions of people. It's not even just, people aren't saying, like, calling people out at the round
table.
We're
defending why somebody's not. Only person he's defending that he's not is himself, not even somebody else, being like, no, I don't think
They're just saying, even in casual conversation, like, bring someone up, you know? And there's a way of doing it and not doing it. Like Phaedra said earlier on, like, she's not going to, she's just going to agree with other people. And he's not even doing that, you know? He's just, there's a way of, like, making it seem like you're saying a name without saying a name. And so it's really frustrating to see that. And not only that, but him getting away with it. So, and Dan could win this whole game. It doesn't mean he's playing a good game. Those are two separate things.
Yeah, because, like, we learned this episode that some of the Faithfuls are really confident idiots. Like, I get it. Like, Janelle wasn't playing the best in the sense that, like I was saying yesterday, she needs a little bit more finesse. Like, yes, it's great to, like, be really competitive and go after the shields and, like, being strong and, like, you know, naming people when people are asking you. But, like, you also have to remember a lot of these people are not gamers. And so they're just going to be going around vibes. And if they think that you're too selfish or that that you are only going to be looking out for number one and not going to be looking out for the group, they don't care that you're a Faithful. They just don't want to play with you. And so I wish that she had recognized that she needed to kind of be nice to people that she didn't necessarily care for. And that's never been Janelle's style, right? She always has had her team and she just rides for her team hard. But in this particular game where they can vote you out, unfortunately, I think that her style of gameplay didn't really rub the other Faithfuls the wrong way, right way.
I agree. And not to skip ahead, but just take it to on this point. So we'll talk about it now, is even at the round table, like, she was willing to call out literally everybody, and that's not what you should be doing at all. It's like,
scared.
Well, I mean, I said this to you yesterday, it's like, if you're calling out people, especially if they don't expect it and they're on the fence, if they're voting for you and your name's out there, they're gonna vote for you just to get you out of here, because they're like, well, if you're coming after me, I need to get you out. And so it's just not good strategy wise but that's getting ahead of ourselves. Listen, we have a good episode to talk about, not only that, but just to hint as to what's to come. It's like, we basically, something happened in this episode, if you haven't seen it, that has guaranteed
it broke the game.
It guaranteed how it plays out, that there are six guaranteed Faithfuls, 100% guaranteed. I've never seen it before. But if you put it all together, how it was played out, you know that essentially almost half of the remaining people in the house are Faithfuls, and it's guaranteed. I can't wait to talk about that in a little bit.
Yes. And also, just remind me, because I don't know maybe I can write it down. This pen works. There's another part that in the preview that I think a preview from last week is matching up with the preview from this week. So remind me of that when we get there.
Right.
So agree or disagree with CD over here that the traitors is not for Dan. Even Cody was better.
Yeah. I think Dan's playing a terrible game. Yeah. I mean, they're like, rewind a couple episodes ago and I'm like, okay, you know, like Janelle said in this episode, he's playing a possum. He will strike when he has the numbers, but it's beyond that. You need to throw something out there, not shift drastically, but, like, you know, creep into, like, the area that people want to see you and be like, oh, okay, that's all he needs to do. He needs to do a little bit of something and people would be like, yep, that's fine. And he's not doing any of that. So I think he's not playing a great game at all.
Roscoe here is saying the greatest thing that Traitors is showing us is that female Black celebrities are the best at hiding in the crowd while leading the Traitors. Okay, I'll take it. A win's a win. I love it. Okay, so this episode, and I was wondering with like the original preview, like not the comment that I want to talk about later. I thought it was like, oh my God, it's going to be Dan versus Phaedra. Like, what is going on here? And so that's kind of the direction that I thought that this whole episode was going. And so, cause like, you know, like how they kind of lead you into the direction when you see the beginning, like the recap, and it kind of shows you like the direction of things. Right. So I was like, that's where I started this episode. Did you have the same feeling?
Oh yeah, for sure. But I feel like it's, I wasn't expecting this going into it. I wasn't expecting the outcome. I mean, as you're watching it, you can definitely see what's happening. You're like, great. I mean, not so great, but yeah, going into this, I didn't think this is how this was episode was going to play out.
Now, also, we get back to the conclave. Is that what we're calling it? The tower. And we're back at the back and forth with Phaedra and Parvati. And I was kind of disappointed. I thought it might have been a little bit more explosive or like a little bit longer. It seems like they resolved it very quickly. She says it pissed me off that she's not an actress. And then Parvati apologizes. She says, I accept that. Let's move on. And then in her confessionals, Phaedra says, I'm going to be keeping an eye on them or on her. But right now, like I let bygones be bygones. I'll move past it. And so I kind of wanted just a little bit more of the back and forth because there's no way that it was only like 10 seconds long.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they both know when to, like Phaedra doesn't want to overplay and she knows it. And Parvati also knows to, you know, when to back down and when too much is too much. And so I just think that that was a good, like, don't rock the boat yet. You don't need to. No one's come for each other at the round table or anything, or any of the traders. So like, let's see if we can still go with this and just appease everyone right now and move on from it. So.
So with that, oh shit, I just lost my train of thought. What did you say at the end?
I said, no one's rocked the boat with the traders yet. Like they haven't gone for each other. I mean,
yeah, that's a question that I have. So when they make their pact, they said, like, I'm not going to reveal, like, who the traitors are. So how does that work out when traitors start turning on each other? Because, like, didn't they make the pact that they're not allowed to out who's the other traitor?
I mean, I don't know. I've always speculated that you could only use, like, game stuff that everyone has seen. Now, in the UK episode of this week is a little questionable. I won't ruin anything because one traitor does reference something that a traitor had told them in secret to use against them. And so that's where the line gets a little gray for me, where it's like, I mean, it wasn't spoken in Traitor's Tower, but at the same time, it was spoken as two traitors talking to each other in confidence. And they used it against each other at the round table. And some people were kind of questioning, like, why is this being brought up? So what can they say? What can't they say? I would love to hear an interview.
I want
to
know.
Like what? Sometimes people are like, well, if I go, it's them, and they're talking about a traitor's talking about a traitor, but you're using like the gameplay that everyone sees. So I'm like, maybe it's literally you just can't be like, Dan's a traitor. Like, Poverty's a traitor.
Right. I mean, a traitor. Or like, if you can jump on the bandwagon, but you can't lead the charge type vibes. Because I just was like, you can't, like, when, even in some of these seasons, like Australia 2, when Sam turned on Ash, like, how are they able to turn on each other when they made a pact to not reveal it, who's the traitors, you know?
Yeah. Because at the round table, we've seen traitors before start off with pointing the finger at another traitor and listing reasons, but it's reasons that, you know, other people can see. And yeah, so
you're being like, I know he's a traitor because I go to the conclave with him every night and he wants to have you, like, they don't divulge on information right. That everybody doesn't already
I
know.
Mean, like with Traitors Canada, we saw the underlining of a traitor's name when they voted and everyone thought, or like of a name and everyone thought that when that person was revealed as a traitor, they were like, but they underlined or whatever that person's name. So I think they're pointing to that person as the other traitor. And then
in the end, I don't remember.
And then in this season, was it? I don't know if she was, who did she put down? I forget. I don't want to give it away in case anyone hasn't seen it, but in this one we did see poverty right at the D several episodes ago and then cross it off, and I'm like, that what? And it's a chalkboard, so it's like, I don't know what they're allowed to do, because you could leave these like subtle hints, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sam here is saying in the Dutch Virgin, where the show came from, they gave hints when they reveal. I think in the UK first season, at least one of the traitors kind of gave a hint when they left. And so, but I think it's the traitor. It's as soon as you figure out who the traitors are, I think it's really easy to figure out who the rest of them. So like, I think the hints are a bit too much, you know?
Yeah. I've always said, I've said recently, like with the mole, we play as an audience, not knowing who the mole is. I would actually love to see a season where we don't know who the traitors are. And I think they could edit it around that, or maybe not the whole season, but like, what if we don't know who the traitors are for the first episode? And they've, you know,
we talked about this, I think, last time.
And so it's like, I've always said that because I feel like I want to play along. And then I think we could assess a little bit more what's too much and like what's like, you know, too obvious and what isn't. But I think it is a very gray line. So
Austin here is wondering how it would be, how you would feel about a season with just actors. It seems like the acting part is the traitor's weak point.
Oh, God.
Actors and gamers, I think. They'd have to be gamers as well.
Like well-known actors or just, I mean, the ones that do reality shows, or just like, it could be like,
you like know, a me.
Like local actors?
Okay, not local actors, but like, like
you know, sometimes you have a show where they're like, oh, I'm an actor and I'm a lawyer as well, or like whatever, like they, like their profession is actor, or we know them in the world of, you know, acting on some level.
I have some sort of acting background. They could be doing other things if they want, but they understand how to embody a character.
I don't know that I could watch a Full House of
Why do you think that people would miss me? I'm not a traitor.
The egos. I don't know if I could. I don't know if
but
I could.
You know what though, Austin? That would be like a whole house of Kevins.
Right.
Kevin is the
worst. I'm an actor. I'm an actor.
No, yeah, I'm an actor.
It's like
I did Shakespeare in the Park last summer.
Having been in many, many rooms filled with just actors and myself, you don't want that. You don't want that show. You don't want that show.
How dare you? How?
No offense. I mean, I love some of my closest and best friends are actors. But you don't, and I would say yourself.
I would never date one.
And all of them agree that they do not want a room full of unless it's an awards show, you don't want it.
There's only a few actors that I like being in a room of a lot of them, but some of them, even friends of mine, I'm just like, okay, you're a bit too insecure, and then but like not insecure. Anyways, it's weird. So I don't know if that would work, especially if there a lot of them are like Kevin, because Kevin I think is a terrible, terrible faithful. I don't know if he, do you think he'd be a better traitor?
No, and he's no offense, Kevin, but he's my least favorite on the show right now. So.
Well, because he led the charge to get your girl out, so...
He led the charge. I just don't think he's contributing anything for his team. And he's just annoying me right now. Right now.
He, right like, now. He gets under my skin. Like, I'm just like, we'll get more to him. So Parv wants Phaedra to decide who the next banished to be murdered is, just because she wants to kind of appease Phaedra a little bit, since she got to take out Ekansu, and you know, she called Phaedra out as well, called the housewives out at the round table. So he's kind of like, here, let me give you an olive branch. Like, you could choose who to ban or to murder. And so it's kind of between Sandra and Tamra. And I'm like, Tamra's pretty bold. Like, what do you think about her, the final two people that they're deciding between? And do you think that they went with the right choice?
I think Phaedra went with the right choice, because it's, you know, it would be unsuspecting for you to Phaedra to murder, you know, a fellow housewife or whatever. So I think that's the best choice for them. I don't think you should ever relinquish control in a game like this, like Dan and Poverty were doing. You should make maybe other people think that they have that control, but never actually not be okay with who's going or anything like that. So I was hoping it's not Sandra for my own reasons. But beyond that, I was like, ooh, that's a good move for Phaedra. And if you remember at the end of it, Dan talks about in the postmortem, Dan talks about how that was something he regrets. That was a mistake of his. And I agree. I agree. It really places her in a good position where it doesn't necessarily do any. I'm not saying it's a bad position for them. I'm just saying it doesn't do anything for them.
So Thomas here says that Dan would have been his first suspect, just like Ceree would have been last season. I love Dan, but I can't believe the Faithfuls are so naive. I mean, it seems now that Janelle knew for a while that Dan was a traitor. And I heard some clips from her talking on Tamara and Teddy Mellencamp's podcast, Two Teas in a Pod, saying a little bit about like, oh, I knew Dan was a traitor for a long time. I think she even said from day one. And so apparently she was talking about it all over her confessionals, and they didn't show those things. They kind of showed her, you know, going along with other things. And I think that it would have served Janelle better if she had just kept it quiet and kept Dan closer, as opposed to going against Dan in these moments, instead of like working with him till the end and then figuring out her way to cut him.
I want to believe Janelle in this. However, I just don't think it makes sense that you are able to keep it all mum and just completely under wraps that your suspicions of Dan, this whole thing, seemingly like just being kept under his wing, which is a smart move. Yet this episode, it felt like it just felt like she was going after him, guns a-blazing, but also recklessly, like without like a plan. So if you knew this all along and could have plotted and planned like how you could get him, why in this episode did it feel like more of just an unplanned explosion of your attack towards Dan? It just didn't feel like there was like a real thought out plan there from her perspective, if she knew all along and she chose now to go after him.
Well, so do you see when she's talking to Trishelle at one point and she's like it's Dan, like for sure, like come on, like you see him, like the way that she's so confident that it's Dan, it seems as though it wasn't the first time that she's had this thought of Dan being a traitor. Mm-hmm. And then on a comment, Janelle's Instagram, there's like a photo somewhere and there's comments beneath it, and Janelle said something like, oh, I always knew Dan was a traitor. And Trishelle responds like, yep, since day one. And so like maybe she'd been calling out Dan and it just hasn't been aired, but for whatever reason she decided to go hard
right now. But that's the point. It's like it got back to Dan this episode. Like why the strike now, because clearly it's only now, because he was like, what? So why the strike now without really any steps that you can ensure or gathering of people that you're like, if anything, that kind of recklessness push people away. I mean, and with that, what else she did at the round table as well. But so that would be my only question. So I'm not saying I don't disbelieve that she didn't think it was Dan.
Why
without a real solid plan in place, or so if she think, maybe she had a plan and it just didn't work out. But
so you thought that the plan that Phaedra had to take out Tamara was the right idea. Why do you think that? Because I can't find where this comment is, but some are saying that it would seem like, obviously, a housewife would take out another housewife to make it look like it wasn't a housewife, because a housewife wouldn't take out another housewife. So
I don't think that's the group think right now. I think it's like very surface leveled and not layered just yet. And I think that's a result of not finding any traitors. So you don't really have an understanding of how they're working quite yet. Her name's not out there. And I just think that, you know, it's unlikely, like you had the boyfriend girlfriend couple, it's like that would have been unlikely for them to take it out to each other out as well. And So it, you know, and that was proven that it didn't happen because Larsa was a faithful, that she didn't take her boyfriend out or fiance, whatever he is. And so, you know, I would say if Larsa was a traitor, then this would have been dangerous because this could have been the same type of move. Like, oh, the traitors are willing to be cutthroat and do anything and take out anyone they know. But I don't think people are thinking that far. So,
well, I agree with Sam, though. Like, if, like, so there's a big fight about housewives and traitors, and then we see Phaedra versus Parvati at that moment talking about housewives and, like, Phaedra being very upset. And then all of a sudden, a housewife is taken out. I think I might be like, that's odd.
I would think that
That's convenient.
It's convenient. I would think that the traders are either like realizing that and playing that game, or I just don't think that it paints a picture on her as well. But I think it's smart because she's not going to be talked about no matter what in this moment. And if you remove these housewives without her being talked about, then it no longer presents them as a large group threat.
Right.
So if she's able to remove some people, regardless of the move in itself, by removing specifically, you know, the housewives, the fact that they're just gone allows them to be less of a group think, a group, you know, presence. And so it diminishes the suspicions, I think.
So I thought that Sandra might have been a better idea because I thought that, like, Sandra is quite loyal to Dan. I don't know if Phaedra has been able to see that, but I don't want Sandra to go. I'm not saying that, but I was definitely worried that it would have ended up being Sandra because Sandra would have been better for Phaedra, I think, with weakening Dan and Parvati, just getting some more gamers out that aren't traitors. I think it would just start pointing the finger at, like, okay, well, another game, gamers have to be a traitor, you know?
Didn't Phaedra bring up both names?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, to her, it was win-win. And she was definitely thinking, like, you know, I think she does know. I think she does know that Sandra, that Dan is, I think he even said that Sandra is, like, you know, he can influence her or whatever, he's with her, whatever, at some point. So, yeah, I think those two weren't just random names for the group. Those were two names specifically to better her game, I think. So I think there's a lot going on with Phaedra, and she's playing the game, you know. Mm-hmm.
So Thomas, like you, I was nervous though that Sandra, I was like, oh my God, are we losing Sandra this episode? Like that's too nuts for me. So first to breakfast is CT and Janelle, and they're kind of bonding. Oops. And they're getting an opportunity to do a little bit of, you know, just deciding who could be the traitor and just like kind of bouncing ideas back and forth with each other. And so I really wish that Janelle realized that she was enforcing something really strong with CT, and CT was throwing out things. Like he was participating, in my opinion, like a traitor would and should. So with what happens later in the episode, I was like, Janelle, why, you don't actually believe this.
Yeah. Why didn't you nurture that relationship? Even if you think he's a traitor, because traitors, you watch the show, will turn on other traitors if they don't feel like they can save them or it's time to cut them. And we're episode 5 and we haven't gotten a traitor. So maybe they're itching to get rid of one, the traitors themselves. So I would have, even if I thought CT was a traitor, I would have nourished that kind of, you know, relationship that they already have. They're able to talk one-on-one at breakfast. And
he really agrees that Dan is very likely to be a traitor.
Yeah, really focus on that. And that could have been part of your plan, was turning maybe who you thought a traitor, CT, on another traitor, you know? And none of that was there for me. I mean, I wasn't expecting it with Janelle. I love Janelle's like bluntness in your face, say like the back and forth at the round table later on. Oh, great. But I mean, I just love it. She makes great TV. I can watch her all day long. But I wanted more of that strategic choices like this that could have been made at breakfast, you know?
And like, as much as I love Janelle, she, you know, she was like my favorite player, spirit animal when we're the same age and I'm watching her on season 6, like I was obsessed with Janelle. I still love Janelle a lot, but I'm realizing that she was never necessarily strategically that great. She was always kind of going up against the other side or the other group, and she was winning a lot of competitions, and I really liked her personality, and I didn't like the opposition. And so I think that that was part of why I was always really getting behind Janelle. But strategically, I'm realizing that she isn't that strong. She doesn't change how she plays the game in order for her to advance herself further into the game. She kind of is always like blunt, going for power, like wants the numbers, super loyal to whom she's loyal to, but she doesn't have room to allow other people in her orbit, even if she doesn't like it. If she doesn't like you, you're not in. Like that's just how she plays. Yeah. If she wants a shield, she's taking the shield. She doesn't care. Like, so I just wish that
and you will see it on her face. But I think it's like a lot of like what's we hate with Big Brother, like people just standing idle and not doing anything and not, you know, Janelle speaks her mind, will be in your face, will fight for it. And because she's good at competitions that could potentially save herself in situations like that, that doesn't translate to traitors. And so, and
that's what she's used to. She's used to winning that veto to save herself, right? And so that's what she did. She went for the shields whenever she could, because that's all she really knows how to do is save herself and then try to have some people that are sticking by her, you know?
Yeah.
But she's not that strategic. And I knew that also from season All Stars 2, where I was like, I feel like she could have gotten herself out of some of the sticky situations that she was in, but like, she doesn't really want to back down. She doesn't want to play ball in that way. She doesn't want to acquiesce, if that's the word, to anybody else's demands. You know what I mean? Like she just will never, she never buckles. And so even if it's strategically better for her. And so,
which is part of the reason we love Janelle, but it's absolutely also part of the reason that she hasn't won these things, you know?
Absolutely. Like, I think if she could win, if she was playing with maybe someone like me and you, you know what I mean? That could like maybe help guide her strategically and been like, hey, Janelle, like tone it down a little bit. People are getting annoyed.
Yeah.
And then she'll be like, I don't fucking care. And you're like, yeah. Do you win?
Like, I'll tell her to, you know, yeah. And you're
like no. You gotta hold it in. I know it's annoying. I know they suck, but you can't let them know that you hate them because they'll vote you out. Like that, you know, she just needs some coaching in that way.
Yeah.
But I still love Janelle. I agree, CD. She is giving great confessions. You know, I do love Janelle. I want to see her on my screen, but she's
always
just not strategically sound. And I was giving her a lot more strategic props than I think that she was really deserved.
I agree. I would have liked to have seen what Janelle would have been like as a traitor. And so I'm holding out for season 5 All Stars or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like where they just bring some people favorites back and whatnot and make her a traitor and see what she's like that, you know? Because I mean, I don't even know if she'll I in my head I think she'll be might be terrible because it'll show all over her face that she's just like not acting the same way or whatnot. But
at least so if she were to ever play again and she played and playing as a traitor, she would have had the experience of playing as a faithful. So she knows what it's like to be a faithful. And so I think that she at least will be able to tap into like, okay, I'm not going to play like Dan. Like, cause like, that's so obvious. Like, I'm just going to try to play like I was playing before and see if I can double bluff them. You know,
Janelle's just like our inner voice, I feel like, on a lot of these shows. And then like everyone, I want to be friends with her. I want to hang out with Janelle and I want to see her go after people like that. But it's like, it's tough because it doesn't put you in a good position, you know? And so anyway, we'll talk more about Janelle's choices later on as well. So
Thomas is saying Cody's been banished in episode 7. Was there somebody else banished, a traitor banished before Cody? Christian wasn't banished before Cody, was he?
In season
One.
Who was oh gosh, you guys are gonna make me pull up the wiki. Pull up the wiki. Season 1 US wiki for traitors. We'll have to find out.
Because like Jonathan was saying that this is almost gonna be the longest stretch that the faithfuls haven't gotten a traitor.
Yeah, we went through the UK, the Australia, New Zealand. Did we check season 1 US?
I don't think we checked season 1 US. Because if that's correct, if Cody was first, then
we're leading up to potentially the one of them was six. Episode six.
I think that was UK one, I think.
Right. I think so. Okay, let's see here. Let's see episode. You're right. Cody was the first one banished, and that was 11. So Cody was banished in episode. I mean, if we're going by episodes, it says on this wiki 6-7. So I don't know. Was it a
double episode, or maybe it was like
led into?
They paused it. They're just like,
there is a separate episode 7. So let's call it 6, but it says 6-7, but it's weird because there's a 5 on the wiki and then there's a 6-7 and then there's a 7. So do you want to call it 6 still? I mean, I don't know round wise, but it's seemingly like episode 6 is the case. And I mean, like, you know, if you haven't watched last season, too bad, but like, spoiler alert, a traitor won last season. So like, you know, if they're at episode going into episode 6 and that's the first time a traitor, if Dan gets banished next, that'd be the first time them catching a traitor. That's still not looking good because that's on par with traitors winning.
And also, so this kind of goes along with how I don't know how strategic Janelle actually is, because she says many times in her confessionals, like, she doesn't think that the housewives have the capacity or the strategy to be a traitor. They can't be a traitor. And I'm just thinking, you know about casting, Janelle. She has, like, I don't know if she still sells or not, but she had, like, How to Get on Reality TV. She knows what these shows are going to want. They're going to want somebody that nobody would think would be a traitor. So a housewife, there's 4 housewives and, like, or 5 people from Bravo, 6 people from Bravo. Like, one of the Bravo people have got to be a traitor. Yeah. Regardless of whether you think that they're strategic enough to be able to pull it off, they have to be. And yeah. So...
On paper, there's no way that it was going to be Sandra, Dan, and CT, all winners, by the way. Like, there was no way that they were going to do that.
No. And so they were going to make it to be somebody that you'd be like, absolutely no way. Like, I would think that it would be Kevin more than it would be all 3 of them. You know what I mean? And so I think that that was also a really big blind spot on Janelle's game. Like, even without seeing people's actions, like, if she just thought casting perspective wise, like, who would casting put in? Like, yes, they would 100% put in a gamer. Yes, 100% they'll put in somebody that is unassuming, likely a person from a non-competitive game show. And if you have that many people from the housewives, at least one of them has to be a housewife. And so, yeah, I'm surprised that Janelle was so blinded by the possibility.
Yeah, exactly.
After Parvati in the round table was calling out, like, it has to be one of the housewives. Like, I know they just got Larsa, but just because they got one doesn't mean there's not another.
Like, yeah, well, I mean, Larsa wasn't, like, they got rid of one. Yeah, they got rid of one. Yeah, it's like, I don't know. But that's what I mean. They're, like, very simplistic in their thinking, not very layered. So it's like, they're like, oh, we appeased that kind of itch. We scratched that itch of, like, a housewife. So now we don't have to, you know, assume. But
then we've talked about this before. It's like, they forget all the evidence from the past week. Like, MJ, what happened to all the evidence for Dan being a traitor? like they don't allow evidence to compound.
Well, I mean, MJ still thought it was, and we'll talk about that later because I think I know what happened in that situation. But it's like, I do think that MJ probably thinks it's Dan still, and was like, but with Janelle's actions and everything that was happening, she was like, I think it's both. So let's just get rid of one. I'll get rid of the other one next time. But seemingly it was like, for us, it's like, what happened to your, it's Dan, you know, thought of mine. So, but we have, I mean, we'll discuss that a little bit later because I have a point about what happened with MJ. So,
hi, Glenda. Never too late. Thank you for being here. And I'm also going to miss Janelle because she just at least gave some energy. You know what I mean? Like what somebody was saying a couple, I think it was MJ that was saying a couple episodes ago to Dan being like, well, if you were really a faithful, like nothing would happen. Like you're not, like no movement would be happening. And like, that's like, Dan is just providing a really bad game. Like if he's a faithful, like it's boring. At least Janelle is being electric and like really trying to find out who these faithfuls are and like, or traitors are, whichever. And yeah, I'm definitely gonna miss her.
Do you think in Janelle's head, it was just so blaringly obvious that she was a faithful to herself that she just like didn't fully believe she would be banished? Like, do you think like on some level there was like that, like she's like, I'm going for all the, cause she provided a couple examples when she was, I wouldn't even say defending herself, just talking about it, where she's like, I wouldn't be going for every shields because like I'm a faithful. And she was like, the traitors wouldn't be doing that. I'm a faithful. Like, and it didn't feel like defending. It felt like her own reasoning. And I felt maybe on some level that she thought that it's just so obvious that she's a faithful.
Yeah, I think that that's what happens to all the faithfuls, is that they know that they are a faithful, 100%. So they believe that all their actions are justified and warranted because they're actually acting truthfully. And so the fact that any of their actions could be misconstrued, I don't think that they even think that way. Like even Peppermint, for instance, when she made that little slip up, like she knows she's a faithful. And so that little slip up was just a slip up. But I don't think that they realize that people will jump on any little thing. And even if you are a super duper faithful, like you are doing all the faithful things, they I don't think they realize that they could still believe that you are a traitor. And she kind of got, She didn't really recognize that soon enough.
Yeah.
Not soon enough at all. So next in is going to be Peter and John. Peter thinks that Dan, if it's a guy, one of the guys, it's going to be Dan for sure. Love that for you, Peter. Okay. I never really thought Peter was hot. But, like, Peter, like, getting some strategy and, like acting, being strategically strong and seeming smart, he's getting hotter.
Well, I mean, you know, and we'll talk about this too, like Peter with the Kevin vote, like let's exchange votes with each other's seemingly stupidity from a couple weeks ago. We're like, what is that? But like now, you know, like, with a lot of what Peter's happening in this episode, it's like, okay, Peter. All right. I mean, okay. I didn't know you had that in you. And not only that, it's like the ability to adapt, the ability to, you know, realize that he tried a little something. He doesn't come from a strategic background and then shifted and was like, and it's very layered his thought, which, you know, we'll get into as well. But so I see what you're saying there because, yeah. I think we just assumed he was like, that was his top, like the, we'll work together, you know?
And you're like, no, now I'm like, okay, you got a little dick in a box face. Like, so yes, I'm starting to like Peter a little bit more. Kevin comes in next. Peter also thinks that it should be or is going to be either Sandra, Sheree, or Trishelle that's going to be murdered. So he thinks Sandra. So Sandra is probably a smart choice to be murdered. So everybody, I'm assuming, thinks that Sandra's a faithful and Sheree is a faithful and Trishelle is a faithful. And that's why Peter thinks that those three might be. Bergie comes in next. And Bergie's gotten a glow up this episode too. Like, remember before we're just like, oh my God, his cheeks get flushed as soon as he gets nervous. No way he's a traitor. Oh, he's not really providing anything. He doesn't say much. And now he's like,
it's the confidence from the spotlight challenge is what it is. Yeah.
And after I saw in some of the comments that Bergie is going to avenge Janelle, which is fun. Very, very fun. So Peter thinks that Sandra, Sheree, Peter is Bergie's closest ally, which I'm like, I also love. I'm like, I love Team Bergie, or like P Bergie, or what could their pet name be? Bergie P? Bergature? Sheree and Dan come in. In my opinion, Dan doesn't play entering into Breakfast very well, but I guess they don't know any difference, so they can't tell that he does not look natural. Yeah. MJ and Trishelle do come in, so Trishelle is safe. And so that means that the final three are going to be Sandra, Tamara, and Phaedra, who are not going to maybe not come into Breakfast. But they ultimately chose Tamara because Sandra and Phaedra do enter. And so we see Tamara getting her letter, and then she's crying, and she really hopes that it's not a housewife that's one of the traitors.
Sorry, of course they have to put that in the edit.
Of course. I did Bergie. I love Bergie. That's cute. Thanks, JJ. Bergie is so great. Okay, Phaedra. I think this was the Phaedra's biggest slip up, though, because she hears the news that a housewife went away, and like she was so like strong in that roundtable about the housewife, and she's just looking for a boiled egg.
Okay, I'm like, that's the edit. That's it. She's like, ham, egg. Everyone's like, oh, and she's like, is there any more? You know, give some juice. I'm like, that's some shady editing right there. That's shady editing. I'll call it out because that was probably like 10 minutes after when everyone was looking for food, and then cut to everyone being like, oh, you know, but whatever. Shady.
Ms. Brown Sugar is, yes, showing some intelligence, puts a little scruff, does make him look sexier. Yeah, he got a strategic hottie glow up now, Mr. Peter. Definitely. I didn't know who Peter was, but he looked like a rich guy that wanted Monica so bad on Friends. I don't remember who that is. Do you remember who that is? You didn't watch Friends.
I was going to say, I'm like, you know, famously, I didn't watch Friends. Only an episode here or there.
Wow. I mean, you were just a little bit too young for it, but.
Oh, no. I mean, like, I'm 40 years old. I was born in.
No, but like, I watched it in high school. And like, my brother, you're my brother's age. And so he didn't care about that kind of show, but.
It was Seinfeld and Friends, and I actively turned it off at Friends. I just didn't enjoy it. Sorry.
I liked it at the time, okay? Jeez. Ouch. okay, so rise and shine, my paranoid platoon, says Alan as he enters. And he kind of lets them know that there's going to be a challenge, and he's going to for them to beat him outside shortly. He leaves, and then CT's like, give me a theory, Dan. And they're like, he's like, give me an avenue. Give me a rabbit hole. Give me something to go down on. And I'm like, yes, give me this energy, CT, because like, we need something from you. And like, the breakfast time is a perfect time to do that, because like, you're not really in fear of being murdered. So you could actually say your piece. And hopefully by the end of the episode at the round table, you'll be able to compound on that and be able to get Dan out if he doesn't give you like a name, anything. And Peter thinks that he is playing a really good game. And I'm like, Peter, you're just saying that just because you guys haven't caught in a traitor, he's not playing a really good game. He can't actually think that, right?
Yeah, I agree. No way.
Lena does not watch Friends. Okay. So not forgiven.
I don't watch Friends. There's a lot of TV on. I was like hanging with Mr. Hooper or something.
Whatever. I watched that too. Okay.
You know, I was watching a lot of stuff. Listen, we couldn't record 8 shows at once. You know, back then, like we can now. So
I used to record
on your VHS. You'd hit the super long play if you were going out. So record 6 hours, and you have to fast forward to where. I mean, you couldn't do it. I had fortunate to live with like 5 family members, many different TVs, VHS and tapes, and I would get them to be taping all my shows for me. But even still, I couldn't keep up. I had to make selections and pick and choose. So Friends did not make that.
Thomas here thinks that it probably was the edit because, yes, like I said, you know, Phaedra being so like against the people targeting the housewives and then not having showing a care, hanging with Sir Cooper. So everybody used to think that my mom was Holly Robinson Pete, so she that was her celebrity doppelganger.
Oh, did you watch Holly Robinson Pete on The Talk the first? Yeah, was she on it the second year? No, she was on it the first year because her and Scientology, former Scientology,
Leah Remini,
King of Queens, Leah Remini were on it just the first year, but I enjoy it. Holly Robinson Pete as well.
So, yeah, people used to always stop my mom and think that she was her. I'll see if I can find you a picture of her back in the day so you can see.
Yeah, a little side by side.
I don't know about now, but then.
We don't get Nick at Night here.
Yeah, no Nick at Night. Sorry.
First thing I do when I go to the U.S. is I put on some Nick at Night. Let me tell you. Mm-hmm. Nick at Night, watch like reruns of like The Nanny.
So we see CT and Dan talking with Kevin about how Kevin's been observing Janelle. And like now he has like a whole theory that Janelle is a traitor. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, get this guy off my screen. Why didn't I wish that Parvati murdered him, poisoned him? He kind of ruined the season so far. I mean, I don't know how it's going to play out, obviously, but like,
He ruined the season. I think he was my least favorite going into this episode.
The shoe?
This just cemented it. No. I know The Talk. I watched every episode for about 10 years until they got rid of Sharon Osbourne. She was on The Talk. There was Sarah Gilbert, Julie Chen, Holly Robinson Pete, and Leah Remini, and Sharon Osbourne the first season. Then they got rid of Holly Robinson Pete. And
it says here Holly Robinson Pete on her return to The Talk for a Juneteenth episode. Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's guest on it, but she was.
Yeah, that was a while ago. But
she was only on the first season with Leah Remini, and then they got rid of her. The Chew what's her name? Not Sandra, the chef, Carla.
I don't really watch The Chew, but I've seen a few episodes.
Listen, I got you. Daytime TV, I got you.
I only know Carla though from Top Chef,
and she hosts some of the Food Network reality like baking shows and stuff like that.
Ariar is a great one episode that Kevin actually speaks. I know, it was like, zip it, Kevin, like put some more food in your mouth and sit down, please. So Dan wants to bring Janelle and Janelle thinks Dan is a traitor, and that's his style of gameplay, that he plays possum and then he attacks. Like, that's just how he is. And Dan wants to bring Janelle and John in, so he wants to talk to them, which I think is the smartest thing that he could do, is like try to be, he needs to be gaming with people. Who are you gaming with, Dan? You're a gamer.
Yeah, there's no way Dan is just sitting there and not talking game with anyone. So it's like, you're either not working with me, but then I talk to other people and they're having the same concerns. So who are you working for? Oh, wait, the traders.
Yeah, like you're gaming with the traders because those are your people. You're not gaming with us.
Yeah.
As a gamer, you're a gamer. If you weren't a gamer, then maybe I can get around me and like, okay, you're just quiet. You don't really know how to play this game, but you are a gamer. You do know how to play these games. And so if you're not gaming with me, you are gaming with somebody else. That's a
traitor. Dan might be playing a great game for someone who is anonymous and no one knew who he was or has ever seen him before, you know, but that's not the case. Like you said, we know who you are and we know that you'd be gaming with someone.
Like anybody normal would know that. So this task is going to be all about communication. There's going to be two groups. There's going to be six people outside. And I think it's seven or eight people inside. It's eight people inside, and the only way that the shield can be won is going to be by the people outside. So only six people will have the opportunity to win a shield. I believe there's two shields that are going to be in play, and Janelle is going to arm wrestle you bitches because she wants to be outside. Sheree thinks it's super, super, what's the word? Selfish, that she, like, if you already got a shield, like, why? And I'm just like, Sheree, like, do you even want to be here? Like, I get it. Like, it's for some money and like some screen time, but like, Janelle wants to be here to play the game. Like, you want a shield? Like, well, why do you want a shield, Sheree?
Yeah.
Exactly. I was annoyed that she was like, she's always coming for Janelle when she's not really offering anything of substance. Boring. They're going to be in pairs. And basically, the pairs are going to, the people outside are going to have a map. They're going to be in pairs and they're going to have to go to different bird calls, where they send out a call, they hear it back, and then they have to relay over a walkie-talkie to the people on the inside of the house, the bird sound, where they're going to go and find the bird that's in the mansion that makes that sound. And so seeing what the bird is, bringing it back to Alan and letting know where the outside team has found this bird. Now, I loved this challenge, but Jonathan, you weren't a fan of this challenge. Why?
No, I mean, so I've seen this challenge before, obviously, because they're copying all the UK stuff as they do, which, by the way, again, not to over-reference this, but the UK episode this week, I can't wait to see that in the US one. But yeah, I just didn't find it, like, there's some like amusing parts. I know, I think, you know, a lot of people found it funnier than I did, the bird calling, but it was almost like a guaranteed like win, like the UK one as well. Like, everyone got it all correct. Like, it was so, it's just almost too easy and just not really dynamic. And it's interesting them making like weird noises and whatever, but they're almost like too good at it. I don't know. I just, it didn't engage me as much as I needed it to.
For me, like, just the fact that they were laughing at them all making these sounds, I was in. Like, when, like, people were like, woo, 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 like, and, like, you see, like, you know, CT reenacting this sound, and then, like, Parvati's on the floor laughing, and they're like, woo, woo, woo. Like, it was just, I don't know, it was just very funny seeing how they're all not taking themselves very seriously at all and making these really ridiculous sounds and laughing at each other doing it. So I found it quite amusing. Sam was dying of laughter hearing these bird sounds. The old man, John, had him on the floor. John, didn't make you laugh, John?
I mean, a little bit, yeah. Some of them running around was just funny to see. I mean, we had a lot of good one-liners. Like, even Sandra was saying how, you know, people who don't like to run, like, it's not like she didn't want to, like, go for the shield or anything. She just didn't want to run. So she was, like, had to stay in the house, even though they're running around a little bit. But yeah, it's, I mean, it was fine. I'm saying out of all of them, I didn't say it was bad. It's just, it's probably my least favorite that I've seen so far.
See, Dolores' funniest part about the mission was watching CT running around the castle with his hands up going, ah! It's really funny. Thomas is with you, though. It wasn't her favorite.
Thank you, Thomas. Challenge. I appreciate the support. I mean, and again, it's not bad. It's just like, out of all of the ones that we've seen thus far and that you will see, this is probably, to me, the one that was like a little womp womp, but it's fine. It's fine.
I liked it. I liked it more than like the first one where they're like had to like swim out and get puzzle pieces and just be yelling at each other.
Like, oh, so. Well, I like that a lot because that was like the challenge to me. So
it was like the challenge, but I just like the
and then like, and that's more entertaining. The fact that like Bergie's like the last one still being tied to the thing, or like Janelle going like immediately out there. Like, it just had more highlights for me than this did. So,
well, mine, this one had more laughter, and you know, I love a good laugh.
Yes.
Okay. So what did you think about the decision that all three traders are inside the house and only faithfuls are outside getting these shields?
Well, which we will talk about, is going to be their biggest mistake. It gets the ball rolling on loving your stone, stand by your side, grace by, yeah. I think that it you know, a lap, train in the background sound like a ship, but it's you know, it allowed them to really mess up. I don't think we've seen that before. Usually they put, like, whether it's a dungeon, whether it's like whatever they're doing, when they have to divide them in two, they'll put at least one traitor.
They need to know what's going on the other side. They need to know who has the shield. They need to know information.
And then ultimately, you know, you can sell one side out if you're a trader and not the other. Like, it just puts you in a better position as a trader. I mean, unless you're on the crappier side. But this really is a huge gaming strategy mistake that we will see. With when you plot everything out on the numbers on the paper, you will see that this helps definitively tell you who the traders are not. So, yikes.
100%. And so with this challenge, any pair could go for the shield at any time that are outside. And so in the end, it is Trishel and Bergie who were the MVPs of this challenge. They firstly got, I believe they got both of their bird clues, and they got the shield. And so they were rather impressive, in my opinion. Now, I don't remember, did all the teams get all, like, all, both of them? Like, they didn't fail this mission at all, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's, like, again, the other version as well, the UK version, it's all, they, everyone got all the money for it. So, yeah, both times.
So we don't need to know, really, like, Mr. Beaks was in the marshes, and I wrote that all down, but I don't think we really need to talk about it. But is there anything else about this challenge other than they were able to accrue $10,000 for a grand total of $75,500 in the pot? Oh, so you said out of 15.
Wait, right. Where did they lose the five?
Well, actually, if they were supposed to all get two, then that would have been
I have 12,000. To, I checked out a little bit with this challenge because I don't love it. But I did someone go for the shield? Did someone go for the shields instead of going for the money?
Well, they still got like 5,000? Two, but they did go for the shield. Yes. But they got two. So I don't know. Are you sure? Oh, Janelle and Peter only got one? Really? And but like Sheree and Kevin got two? 2,500 each? Okay. Oh, okay. I mean, Janelle and Peter, I love them together as like a duo, but you know, maybe I'll start doing a stream for it.
That's how I watched last night. Yeah, I streamed it for him. I watched on Discord.
So maybe I'll stream it, and then we can just do like a live like discussion.
You should. Do you have you should have for your subscribers or your Patreons a special live reaction on, like, watch it on Discord and then have like our initial live reactions before we do a YouTube.
Okay.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Okay. Should I start?
Who would
start
like that?
For a $1 membership tier? Okay.
Yeah. Who would like that? Who would like that?
Done.
Watch it with us and then get our initial reactions.
We were heated last night. So yeah, that'd be great. Okay, so yeah, there's nothing really more about the challenge, right? Especially since you hated it.
Yeah, we can move on. We can move on.
So this was also smart that they're not telling everybody that they're who got the shield, because like if nobody knows who got the shield, it might allow them to be all safe. So that is really super fun. I'm gonna have to create it because I don't have it yet. So I'll create a Patreon or something after this podcast, and then
we're very animated immediately after following watching it.
Okay, I'm gonna do it. I'll do it after. Okay. Whoa. Done. But then we'll have to figure out exactly when we're gonna be airing it. So okay, well, we'll figure it out. Logistically, I can definitely do. Do it on Discord, and we can have a little live chit chat only for you guys that have subscribed.
Okay. Causing you more work. I'm sorry.
I know. Right? Thanks, Jonathan.
I'm volunteering Chantel's.
Voluntold. Okay, so what do you think about that? The fact that they didn't want to reveal to anybody inside the house who had the shield.
Yes. I'm like, people are playing the game now. Here we go. This is what you need to do strategy-wise, and they got right to it. And they lucked out in the fact that there's no traders amongst them. So, you know, yeah, it's
even Alan after was like, so do you want to tell us who got the shield? And Janelle, I wish she hadn't elected herself to say like, we are not sharing any information. And I'm like, I love you, Janelle, but these people don't love you, Janelle. And so it just makes you more unlikable.
Stands out. It singles you out and
makes you look like you're being selfish, keeping withholding information. It just looks shady. But I get why she's doing it, but I wish that somebody else had elected to share that with the group. So Dan is planning on using Janelle's selfishness against her. And I'm like, it's too easy. I wish that Janelle was also thinking a little bit ahead, where it's like, hey, like the traitors can use the fact that people already think this way about me against me. I wish that she just had some foresight. So Peter, though, then decides to tell people that it was him and just Janelle that has the shield. And so he chose to tell John, Parvati, and Dan, correct?
John, Parvati, and I think that's correct. Yeah, it was definitely Dan and Parvati for sure. I remember that. And then, yes to John. Because he then spoke openly in front of John in other, like, because then he told John everything afterwards too in a group. So yeah, I think those are the ones.
And so I was like worried about this, and then I was like, well, you know what, but then they might just like banish you, Peter, like be careful, because like if they can't get you in a murder, they might try to get you in a banishment ceremony. But I was like, but I'll just let them run with this, you know what I mean, just to cause more confusion. Like, you know, I thought it was strong for him to, in the end, because if they have an idea who has the shield, then they might go for someone on the outside. But what they should have done, no matter what, was just go for somebody on the inside, because they definitively knew who was inside and didn't have the shield and were faithful. So, yeah, I think it caused actually more confusion. So in the end, I thought it was good, but I was wary that it might have been a bad decision.
Yeah. Any move can like blow up on you, but we definitely appreciate people making those moves and attempting and trying something. And, you know,
for those off the grid Discord. Yeah. You know what Discord is? I'll just share a link. And so you just will have to just tune into a link. If they don't have Discord, would they have to sign up?
Yeah. It's super simple. It's a social platform that you go on to. You can just like download the app or whatever on your phone or on your computer. And you can, it's like VoIP, and it's you just video, you can chat, there's like servers, and you just would have to go onto the Reality Realness server. And then you'd see all of the things that Chantel has created. I'm not doing it, but all the things that Chantel has created, and there'd be like a live, and you just click on the live, and you would be able to watch the stream and join us. It's actually like really simple. It's not, even if you're not good with this kind of stuff, it's like a couple clicks.
So again, Kevin thinks it's Janelle, and I just wrote, he is so annoying, which you probably felt the same way as well. MJ thinks that Janelle is gunning for Dan, and then like she goes and tells Dan. What you said that you have a theory as to what happens here. What's your theory?
So we saw, I kind of need to rewatch, but because I don't remember everyone involved, but MJ walks out with, was it Sandra? Or it was a woman. She was walking out with some other woman, like she wanted to like tell her something. I personally think it was going to be on the Dan thing. And then she ran into, Jonathan doesn't know. Then it ran into, Maureen, I thought we were bonding over my pink amethyst.
No, that was Dolores.
Dolores. Okay, well, Maureen, no. But they ran into two people. One was Dan and one was someone else. And then because her energy and her body movement was very like, okay, like come on in, like hush up, you know what I mean? She had to include the other two. Oh, Dan, yes, okay, great. Let's all four of us find a place that we can talk. And then Dan was there, so you can't out Dan to Dan. So she just said, Janelle's coming for you hard. That's my little theory, is that she was going to talk to whoever it was, Sandra, whomever. And then...
Oh, CT.
Peter told CT. But then John...
And then he
afterwards.
And John later as a backup.
Yes, yeah. It was John afterwards for sure.
Thank you. Sorry, Miss Brown Sugar.
And so, yeah, I do think MJ was going to do that. And when that happened, she had to out Janelle to Dan, which contributed to the round table. And ultimately, with Janelle's behavior at the round table, MJ didn't vote for Dan. That's what I think is what happened.
Yeah, I could see that's the case, because I don't think that MJ's intention was to tell Dan that Janelle was coming for him.
It was in the moment.
She was kind of trying to gossip with somebody. I can't remember who it was. Yeah, and like, then Dan was right there. And so she didn't want to exclude him because, like, that's sketchy, shady. And so, like, I think that she was just bringing that up maybe to read him, gauge his response, reaction, to see, like, oh, is he going to...
Or even just to distract him from the... Because I saw her. She was literally like... You know, oh, come here. Like, let's, and then, yeah, you too, Dan. Yeah, I meant all of us, you know. So, circumstantial.
And so then, Dan tells Parvati that Janelle's coming for her. She's quite surprised by this. And so I was like frustrated. I was like, oh, can like Parvati turn on Dan already and just like jump on Janelle, this with Janelle? Cause like, okay, so if, say, Dan did leave last episode or this episode, who do you think would be the best for the traitors to recruit if they want to recruit?
Okay, so we were talking about this, that we think, like, there was a clip the other week for like a preview, and it looked like Parvati and Phaedra were talking to each other in the traitor's tower and no one else is there, is what it looked like. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But so I don't know. I feel as if who would they recruit? It's hard to say, because I would normally put a lot of thought into this and I haven't thought about it, but I would say I would probably at this point start the process of recruiting someone not to work with, but to throw them under the bus, and at the same time ease suspicion off yourself. So whoever fits
Kevin,
that
let's
bill,
just bring Kevin in and throw him to the wolves.
I want
to
say Kevin, but I thought that was just because my like emotional response to that, where I'm like, it needs to be strategic. So,
well, like, no, Kevin would be kind of decent, because like he was the one that led the charge for Janelle. He was super, well, we'll get to it a little bit more, but rude to like Kate and stuff like that. Like, he's pretty unlikable, in my opinion. And so, like, and he's always defending Dan. So if Dan goes, maybe they can pin it on him and then just make him a traitor, a late pull-in traitor.
It's like Sandra's name's come up a little bit. And Sandra's not.
Can't be a recruit. His cheeks are a tell.
No, yeah. Unless you wanted to, like, you'd be like, you would know instantly that he was recruited. You'd be like,
well, I don't think he would accept it, to be honest. Ooh. He might be too pure hearted. He'd just be like, I guess, yeah, I'm out of the game.
You can I think up until right at the end, you can decline.
But then you get murdered, though, no?
No, that's just that right at the end, like when it's like 6-5 or something. And then if you don't accept it right at the end, you get murdered. But you can decline. We saw season one of UK Traitors, that woman, forget her name now, declined. I think she was eventually murdered, but like it was an instant. Last season in one of the games, they were like, if you do not accept this, you will be murdered. That's not the case normally, though. So he could decline.
He should decline.
but then it would be a waste. Like, that's their consideration. Like, if we're not murdering, we're recruiting, and it would have to be someone that says yes. Otherwise, it's a waste of a night. We haven't done anything. We haven't murdered or recruited. So,
well, then the people would know that, like, he, like, so who was attempted to be recruited?
Yeah,
or whatever,
it gives you more information.
Yeah. So enters Kate. Oh my God, just for her last name, Chastain, from Below Deck, from season one of The Traitors. She is going to be a faithful, even though she wanted to be a traitor. You are not happy with her being brought into the game so late. Why? Not that I disagree.
Right. I mean, I don't think it's fair for all the people who have played. Listen, and we talked about this at length. There are people who day one, they showed up and they were on the ends of that line and they got kicked off and then brought back in. Fine. They showed up. They were there. They made a choice to stand at the end of those lines. This Kate, yes, she was on last season, but hasn't done anything, showed up at all this season, hasn't played the game at all. And you're basically like, here you go. Here's a free pass to the middle of a game. And no one's going to get rid of you because you showed up at the round table. So this is a free pass for this round as well. So we're starting off at, yes, it was Chantel's birthday, everyone, yesterday. If you didn't know, now you know. And she turned 29 yet again, like the rest of us.
Oh, 29. Oh my God.
But yeah, I think it's just, I don't like that. And again, I don't mind battle backs. I don't mind like a little, you know, island. They go off and come on their way back in because they've already played the game in some capacity. I just think like being like, here's a free pass day one, you're halfway through the game already. There's just something about that. And listen, I love that Kate's in the game. Don't get me wrong. I'm it's going to be entertaining. It's going to be great. I just think overall, it's like not the fairest when everyone else who's gone before her didn't get that chance to just be, you know, put in the middle of the game like that. So,
hi, Kiwi Skirt. Wouldn't it be 2 days ago? You guys are in the future, right? So my birthday would have been 2 days ago for the 25th, if that makes sense for you. Whenever that was in New Zealand, which I feel like it was like 48 hours ago was my birthday in New Zealand. I think so. Some people are thinking that, so Sam here thinks that Poverty should recruit a guy so that she could team up with the guy and turn on Phaedra later, and Phaedra should go for Sandra so they can maybe team up on Poverty.
Yeah, it depends on what they're trying to do there, but yeah, it's quite... You know, like I said, whatever makes sense for you, whatever makes sense for you. So,
yes, Aquarius gang, gang. I love me Aquariuses. Whoop, whoop. Yeah, I think it's a wrap for Dan. We're going to get to it. We're almost there. So we get to the round table. It's basically going to be Janelle versus Dan. And Alan brings in the chair. It's dramatic. Kate comes in. Kate basically wants information from everybody. What's been going on? What's been happening? Who's on the chopping block? Who's targeting whom? Kate will have a vote. She thinks that they will think that she is bitchy and wildly unpredictable, and they will be right. I am happy for some of the energy that Kate's bringing in there. She's like, as much as she was kind of wrong last season, this season so far, she's had some good reads, and she's playing to win. Like, she could easily win this game because of her late entry, and then just seeing she's not like in the bubble, so she can't see clearly. She's able to, what's the saying, you can't read the label from inside the bottle. So she's able to read the label, and then now she's going in the bottle with having like a clearer perspective. So I think this is strong for her. I don't know if she'll be able to play it well enough where she'll be able to get to the end and be able to take out the traitors, because as soon as she gets too vocal, I think that they will try to get rid of her somehow. But I do think that out of the faithful, she has the strongest hand to play right now.
There's something funny about the fact that she like didn't want to be there last season and was very vocal about it. And then they're like, okay, well, how about we just give you half a season? Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. We'll start you in the middle. We'll just start you in the middle.
And give her, she probably got a nice appearance fee, right? Yeah. Hefty. She probably got like what they have in like their bank so far, like the 70 grand. Like, I care about 70 grand, but they don't care about 70 grand. Like, what's his name? The boxer that left, Deontay. Like, what is it? He had like what, 150 million?
Yeah.
$70,000. Yeah. That's like $100 to him.
And I we did talk. I was like, I don't know if we ever talked about that, but you did mention that it brought up some childhood trauma for him. That's why he, left or whatever, so it's understandable. But we're so disappointed with Deontay leaving. But yeah, no, they if you don't need the money, I mean, like, I get it, and that's like a driving force for a lot of people to really play the game. I mean,
so that's why some people are saying that they don't particularly enjoy, well, I've heard both sides, they don't particularly enjoy the celebrities playing it because they don't need the money, so it's not as cutthroat as it would be if it was all just regular folks. On the other side, people are saying, like, do you really want to see people like Hunger Games desperate for money? Like, it's a little bit too, like, needy and desperate for it. Like, is that better? Like, I don't know.
I just think people play scared when they really need the money, too. And so I love Cutthroat. I want to see Cutthroat. But I want to see Hunger Games. But I think they just play, like, quiet. They don't want to, like, you know, scared the majority of them. Some people can't, you know, help themselves. So I like the celebrity versions because, yes, we have people that we know that we're rooting for. But also, yes, I mean, if they don't need the money, I think you'd be surprised who needs the money and who doesn't. Because mm-hmm. there's some celebrities on this level out there. And I,
you Janelle know, needs the money. She probably has a couple hundred grand.
I'm privy to know some of their financial situations. Mm-hmm. And you'd be surprised who needs some money. So it's like, if they're on the show, they probably on some level need the money, unless they're like a Deontay where it's like, this is totally different. But if you come from reality background, this is like your career now, like for like Sandra, right? This is her career. You know, this is a lot of their CT makes a career out of being on the challenge and stuff like this. Right. And so, yeah. So I think it's a good mix with some of these like smaller celebrities, I want to call them, or reality celebrities that mm-hmm. they need the money to some degree. And they also are bringing in that knowledge of how to play the game, and they're not afraid of playing, you know, actual playing, and they're not going to play scared. So,
I mean, this is just for them. I agree, for them to get more opportunities to keep their careers going. Even getting them back on the Housewives, like they can make a few $100,000 for a season. So like being relevant, like makes it likely for them to go back on.
And we've seen it, get in a fight with someone so you can go on the challenge and have a, you know,
rival season.
Exactly. Right.
So Kate will have a vote. Kevin thinks it's Janelle. Janelle is like rolling her eyes about all this. She thinks it's Dan. I love John standing up for Janelle, being like, Janelle has been consistent. And he can't say it so far as much for other people. And then I wrote down, oh my God, Kevin is such a dickhead. Like, he's such a jerk with how he, like, with when he starts and he's like, well, I'm gonna speak, but like, this group has a tendency to speak over top of each other. So if you guys can promise me that you guys won't speak over top of me, then I will say what I have to say. And then when Kate started saying something, he's like, excuse me, like, don't, like, basically telling her to shut up. He's talking. I was like, that's not the energy. That's not it.
That's not it. Yeah, it's, you know, I don't love Kevin. So
he's a thumbs down. Peter does say that Dan contributed the least, which is true. And like, I would not want to play with Dan for the fact that he's contributed the least. Like when they start going back and forth with Dan and Janelle, and they're like, he's like, oh, so because like, I'm not saying that much, that means that I'm a traitor. Like, I wish that they had just said to him, like, yeah, like, it's not normal. And just be like, you're not fun to play with. Like, if I was playing a regular card game with him, like, he's just like quiet and just doesn't say anything.
Well, it's like a social deduction game. And you're like,
not just deducting.
You're and not social. Being social. Like, it's like yeah. It's like, yeah, I wouldn't want to play with you regardless. And like I've said before, there is a thing as a bad faithful, and I fully believe it. So for me, I would be like, Dan, you're either a terrible faithful or you're a traitor, and either way, I'm getting rid of you. So
yeah, because you suck. Which is kind of almost the same logic for Janelle. She is a bad faithful to some of the faithfuls, and so they don't want to play with her, so they're getting rid of her.
Well, with her being like, it's you, it's you, it's you, I'm like, yeah, that's not great. So
and then they do ask Dan, who do you think is a traitor? And he's like, it's you, Janelle. Like, this is, so he's been waiting.
The most obvious.
Like he said, like, you know, when I take a shot, like I don't miss, like I want to gather all the information. And then he points the finger back at Janelle. Like Fergie said it right. He's like, that's pretty, it's pretty sus.
Yeah. Definitely. It's not me. Sus. It's you. Like, yeah, that's your big reveal, Dan. You know what?
He's
a mastermind strategy.
But Janelle did make herself a big target there. She does throw out herself. She throws out Dan. She throws out strongly CT and strongly Sandra. And, you know, I thought that that was definitely Janelle's biggest mistake, because I don't know about Sandra, but CT could have been somebody that voted Dan. Yeah. Go ahead.
And what? No, and I was just going to say too, like, I agree. And like, an argument could be made that Dan was not doing what Janelle did and he didn't want to say names to get more people against him. But if I was Dan, I would have picked someone who you knew was going to vote for you or was against you. Like, I'm sure it's obvious, you know, there's at least one person. He got, what, 4 or 5 votes? There's at least one person that you think is going to vote for you. So just go with that person, not being Janelle. I mean, you're like, well, he did. He went with Janelle. But anyone but Janelle, like anyone, the person who's like leading it. So you're like, no, I genuinely think it's this person. I'm not even going to go for Janelle who says it's me. It just was so obvious. I think it was a terrible play on both their parts, to be honest with you.
Terrible.
Yeah.
All right, so we get to the vote, and MJ says Janelle. And I'm like, MJ, like, I was giving you props because I thought you were playing, like, well, and that, like, you were potentially going to be able to be one of the faithfuls that are going to get these traitors out. But nope, she votes Janelle. Phaedra, of course, has to vote Janelle. Sandra, I mean, I understand she voted Janelle. Like, because as a faithful, you don't want a faithful trying to get you out. So it's just like, sorry, this is like self-preservation here at this point, Janelle.
Yeah.
And then they start, you're a traitor, bitch. You're a traitor. You're a traitor. I was like, oh my God.
I was like, if all I get from this season is that interaction, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied.
Oh my God. Like, bitch and F-bombs and like they're both not traitors.
This is like Janelle at her best for me. This is what I live for when Janelle's on a season. I want Janelle to be on a season with someone else she doesn't like and just always love it.
You're a traitor, bitch. She should get t-shirts that say like,
I'd buy it.
Actually, I'm gonna start making it. You're a traitor, bitch.
Yeah, and you know, and then in the tower later, Phaedra has a quote that we'll talk about too. But like, there's some great quotes from this episode. But Janelle, ooh, so good.
Oof. All right. So Peter says Dan. Of course, John says Dan. Janelle says Dan. Parvati says Janelle. Kevin says Janelle. Trishelle says Dan. Dan says, Dan says Janelle. Mm-hmm. CT. Of course, says Janelle. Sheree, who's I think she's the female biggest flop. But she's female biggest flop, and Kevin's the male biggest flop. And so Bergie also says Dan, and Kate says that she learned that she, you know, from these competitive reality shows to go with the group. And so here in the beginning, go with the group. And so she's going to have to go with the group here. She is going to vote out Janelle. And Janelle says, I'm a faithful, you idiots. Yes. Well, she's like, well, I went by her actions, says Sheree. Like, okay, just irrelevant. And then who said wow? Was it MJ? Like, wow.
Oh, I don't remember, but yeah.
All right, Bergie. I'm like, I said, Bergie, avenge Janelle. I'm like, please. And then I saw that he said that in the comments. I'm like, yes, like I love Bergie wanting to go on a Janelle revenge tour. It's so fun. I wrote your name is now on my chalkboard. Who said that? I didn't read that. Who said it? Okay, doesn't matter.
I don't know.
So, Kate isn't taking wine from Parvati. And that's another thing, too. Like, Parvati's like, oh, want to get some wine? I said something to drink. And Kate's like, I'm not taking any wine from Parvati. Like, and that's kind of the attitude that people should have been having, like, 2 days ago. But, hey, I mean, we chat a lot, all right, MV? You should have seen how long we talked yesterday. We literally talked for 3 hours.
Long, much longer yesterday about this episode. And now we're doing it all again, yes. We're almost done.
Oh, is Bergie that said that? Okay, your name is on my chalkboard. Okay, good, Bergie. Yeah, Bergie was not happy. Peter is hoping that the traitors fall into his trap. And so the trap being that with him one of the traitors, at least one being Dan, that, you know, him and Janelle had the shield. Actually, that could also be a tell for why they got rid of, like they banished Janelle thinking that she had a shield. So they can also use that as potential evidence. And so that would maybe lead them to want to banish Bergie, who is actively also against Dan, who would actually have the shield. And they can just pretend that, like, well, they could make a mistake and they could strike incorrectly. So I'm really hoping that this plan works. So Dan says he's going to be aggressive now in his gameplay. I'm like, aggressive or worse? Like, what is it? So they have the conclave, and Phaedra and Parvati think that Dan is still in the hot seat. We do see Dan, he made a confessional, or he said it somewhere. I think I took a picture of it. He basically says that he resurrected himself from his own funeral and winning Big Brother 10, this round table was the hardest he's ever experienced in reality TV. Do you agree with that? Do you think it was the hardest?
For him, because he's not playing well.
Got it. Oh, right. Yeah, you said you're right. I'm writing your name down unless you make me change my mind otherwise. So, yeah. Which I love that Bergie was just like, you're next, Dan, unless something.
Don't let your mind be changed, you know. Don't let
your mind. And so that's probably why Dan is like, we need Bergie out. Dan wants Bergie. And I'm like, sweet Jesus, please, please give us Bergie. Because we know Bergie has that damn shield. So John, Sandra, or MJ is who they think that they should go on to, because they were inside the house and they're faithfuls, obviously. But Dan wants to roll the dice with Bergie, even though Parvati is nervous about Bergie. She thinks that it might be so obvious that, like, if Peter is telling her and Dan that him and Janelle have the shield, she thinks that he's doing that to distract them and make them make a wrong play.
Yeah.
And so Dan, Parvati's nervous, but Dan wants to roll the dice here. And either it's going to make him lose the game or make him win the game. But I don't think it's going to make him win the game.
Lose the game. It's a 2 out of 6 chance, right? So that's crazy to me. That's like, that's a one in three chance that you're picking wrong. So, and then, I mean, we're not there yet, but we do, if you watch the preview of next week,
We counted.
We checked clothing. We made sure the shots were, you know, shotting. And but are we going to talk about the Traitor Tower?
Yeah, go.
I was just going to say Phaedra. What was Phaedra's line?
Okay, so Phaedra's line. I meant to write it down, and then I was like, I'll remember it. She said, like, you put on your suit, Dad. I'm going to embalm you yourself.
Yeah, I'm going to. Yeah. Put on your best suit. I'm going to embalm you myself or something like that, when he was still not sharing with them.
Right. They're like, well, who do you think? Like, who should, like, what are you thinking? And he's like, well, like, they're like, you're doing it with us too. You're going to put on your suit and I'm going to embalm you yourself.
Like, what the heck? It's too much.
What the heck is right?
It's too much.
What I was trying to correlate from the beginning. So remember the first line that I was talking about? Where we see the fight potentially between Dan and Parvati. And then we see the preview for the next episode, and we see Dan being like, oh, like, I'm coming strong for you right now. Like, this is, I've been gathering all the information, and I'm coming right. I'm ready to aim, or whatever he said. And I'm thinking that he might be coming for Phaedra here, because there seems to be a Phaedra versus Thing fight. And we know that Dan wants to turn on Phaedra first. So maybe Dan's Hail Mary here is to put Phaedra on a platter. I'm wondering if he's able to bring some evidence to Phaedra being a traitor. And that's why we get the whole line, like, to Peter being like, I don't need to kiss your ass to give you a rose. That it could be that round table, but I just think that Dan may be coming for Phaedra. But I do still think that Dan goes home, because I think that corroborating evidence is when you see Phaedra and Parvati seemingly talking, just the two of them. I do think it's going to be after this episode, but I do think that Dan is going to put Phaedra in the hot seat, and that's who he's been gathering evidence to throw under the bus.
That's a good theory. That's a good theory. And I agree. I think Dan goes home because, you know, at the preview for next week, we're skirting around. There's 13 people, and it ended with 13 people, including Kate. And so they clearly murdered Bergie, attempted. and it didn't work.
Or
Trishel. But I mean, like, they're talking about Birdie. Yeah. So they both had they clearly attempted to murder someone with the shield, and it did not work. I mean, because that's what they were talking about. I'm like, of course there's a reality of them attempting to recruit someone and it didn't happen. But like, well, I guess not, because they're still all there. So I don't think they're allowed to recruit, but they're all there. All 13, they're all there. No one went home. It's the next episode. They're all in different clothing. And except for Dan, who wears the same thing. And
maybe that's why Phaedra's like, you're going to put on that your one suit.
And so, so no one gets murdered. That's the big reveal in the preview of next week. And, you know, what we were also talking about earlier, like with Peter's plan and everything, like it definitively says that you can clear all the people who were outside. They were all faithfuls.
Exactly.
You know, put all those pieces together. And John, because he knew about it. A traitor wouldn't murder someone that had the shield, and they all knew who had the shield outside.
Unless they're trying to fake it, but like I think the rules are like you have to murder, and you can't
be like, oh well, we know he has a shield, but we're gonna murder him anyway and burn this. I don't think you can do that. So to me, and I don't think any of them think you can do that either. So to me, it definitively says, you know, all six people outside, we've lost Janelle. So there's five, but plus John, who was inside, because they specifically told John the plan. All six of those people are cleared as not being traitors. Not only is the traitor one of the seven that was inside, the traitor there's three of them. Eight was how many people started?
I think it was
14.
No, it was 13. Sorry, 13 to 12 to 13. Sorry.
Something like that. So, because Kate came in. Yeah. So, you know, however many traitors there are, whether it be two or three, which I think they all know there's three because they knew that someone was going to be recruited. So the likely that you start off with two and recruited a third, you know, all three are part of the people inside. So not only should they only ever be targeting people, yes, they can recruit later on once they get one, but still they should be targeting. They know three traitors are from 100%. The seven people inside. Three out of seven people are traitors.
Some people inside are Dan, Parvati, Sandra, John, but John knows the truth. So they're not going to target John. Who else is in there? MJ.
Yes, was it like three or six now or whatever the numbers are? But like, that's crazy. That's crazy to me.
I can't think of.
Who's inside?
Oh my God. Like, see, they're inconsequential, these people probably.
Where was Sheree? Outside?
She was outside with Kevin.
Kevin was outside.
Oh, I forgot CT. Uh-oh, sorry. CT isn't really living up to, you know, his excellence. I love CT.
Yeah, he was running around with his hands.
Phaedra, Phaedra. I thought I said Phaedra before, but I didn't put on my finger. So the three traitors, CT, John, which is not really one, MJ, I forget. Whatever. You get my point.
Whatever. Those people. You know. Yeah. Yeah. You essentially know they're all like, that's wild to me. I don't think that's ever happened before. Correct me if I'm wrong, but like you definitively have those people. You know, all the traitors are on the inside. Like Peter's, let's vote for each other. Peter's plan worked because Dan is playing terribly.
It was up to Parvati.
She was like, she said she would never, she would have been like, well, we have to go with someone on the inside, you know? Crazy.
But then also if they go for someone on the inside, like that also still leads you to believe that it's somebody from the inside that's a traitor. Because if a traitor was on the outside, they would also know who has the shield.
But what normally happens, I agree with you. But they also could be like, well, they could have thrown it, or they could have like, and usually they split them up. Like usually the traitors split themselves up in every other situation except for this one. So I agree with you. I agree with that point. But they could be like, well, they could have been playing. I think definitively the fact that there is no murder and there is no, you know, recruitment or anything, I just think definitively you absolutely know there's no games being played that the three traitors are inside the house. It's coming from within.
I was gonna do it. You're too fast. Oh my God. So if they go, which it seems like they do with Dan's plan, they're gonna roll the dice to see if and try to get out Bergie, who's planning on writing his name down on the chalkboard. Even that in itself. Like, Bergie's actively coming for you, and you're going to take Bergie out when, like, it's also leading us to believe, Dan, yeah. that, like,
he's spiraling.
Is you. But, you know, he's Hail Mary here right now. We'll see how it works out. I think that Dan is going home next episode. I think that there will be a recruitment. And who do I think that they're going to recruit? I would love for them to recruit Kevin, because Kevin appeared like a traitor with his how rude he was and how he tried to force out Janelle. And with that position, I think that they could recruit him. He could maybe say yes, and they can just like give him to the wolves again after.
Yeah, I think for my own benefit, I think that... yeah, exactly that right there. Never have them all in the same group. But for my own benefit, I feel as if I would like kind of like them to recruit Sandra, because then I'd be rooting for Sandra, Phaedra, and Poverty to win. Now with Janelle gone, you know what I mean? Like, those would be my favorite out of everyone else in the house. So I'm like, you know, go strong together. Yeah, we were saying that everyone was at the round table. Yeah.
Yep, everybody was at the round table. Dan getting outplayed by Pilot Pete and then ignore the Black Widow, who knows what's up. He deserves to get banished. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I'm not saying definitively this is what happens. Obviously, we don't know for sure. It's what should happen. It's what seems like is happening. But regardless of however way you want to slice it, Dan has been playing horribly. And I don't think you could defend his game this episode.
I would be impressed if Dan can survive the next round table. If it's because he throws another traitor under the bus, like he did what he had to do. But
if he does, he deserves to win regardless of how bad he's been playing up to this point, because it's been handed to them on a silver platter that it's Dan. And they're without there being a name tag, "Hi, I'm a traitor," that he has to wear. I don't know what else anyone could do to say it's Dan. Guys, it's Dan. So...
it's kind of like they were told by production, like, hey, it's, yeah, we know you know that it's Dan. We just had to, you know, play out a little bit,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
some people are going to have to just be banished, and that's going to be part of their like, agreement.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. All right, well, that's it. Anything else you want to say before next week?
No, I'm looking forward to Dan being banished, or so... I'm really looking forward to next week. And like, if anyone out there watches the UK version, like I do, you know, some of the challenges and things that are happening, and it's really exciting. So I can't wait to see
up right now. Literally.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. So I can't wait to see this group of people do that. So you're perfect. In for some good episodes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just carried down on my phone. Jonathan sent me a link when you set it up, please. It is Chantel birthday week. Just saying, birthday month. Yeah. Dan man walking. Dan is a dead man walking for sure. Oh, right. Well, this is obviously really fun. I can't wait to talk next week. I can't wait to do like a live rant with you with my new patrons that I'm going to have. I'm going to set this up quickly.
Guys, we go off. So it's like an after hours, like after dark version of Reality Realness.
You're right. Because like, you know, we'll say things that some people online might be coming for us. Yeah. You know,
it's just reactive kind of emotional responses, which we don't do as much, or I don't hear. But I'm gonna rein it in a little bit. Think about it through. But if you just want to catch what's coming to our minds and just off the tongue, that's the place.
All right, we're gonna make it happen. We'll see everybody next week. Make sure you subscribe to the channel, like this video. Let us know who you think is gonna be recruited if Dan is gonna be the one that is banished next episode. And you know, subscribe. I've already didn't say that already. I love you guys. It's my birthday week, so when I make that Patreon, sign up.